come tonight. We want him to take his liberty, and amen, we're expecting God to do great things and God to use him mightily. And so, Brother McCoy, it's great to have you tonight. We just want you to have your way and have your liberty tonight and do what God wants you to do.
Thank you, brother. Praise the Lord. I've looked and I don't see a clock. Yeah, there's one up there. Your pastor was trying to maybe help you out. He was nice about it, but he told me I quit at 8:15. So I told him something like, we'll see what happens. Oh, Lord, help us. We'll get out early if the Lord doesn't help us, hopefully. Would you stand and let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 6. We might get out early if the Lord helps us. You know, there's some things that are really enjoyable in life, like banana pudding, ice cream. I went to the doctor. I just was dragging, just having to force myself to move or to get things done here just a few years ago. And the doctor checked, and my sugar was somewhere around 450. I didn't tell him. Do y'all have Bluebell here? I didn't tell him I'd been dieting on Bluebell. I tell you what, though. I cut it off. Boy, I changed quick. He had me take some medicine. I was back. It wasn't all that long. It was down to 170-something, I think. It might have caught him by surprise. He just sit there quietly, silent. And then he said, well, I'd say that was a success. And I still didn't tell him I quit eating Bluebell. There's some things I enjoy in life. And Bluebell has been one of them. I like the taste of it. I like the feel of it. There's just something about the coolness of that and the texture of that and the taste of that. Is anybody getting hungry? Does anybody knows what I'm talking about? There's something about what I feel tonight and have felt in this service. I like the feeling of it. I like the thrill of it. I like the promise of it. Wow. You can't beat this. You can't get any better than best. And the best is in our presence, and his name is Jesus. And because Jesus is here, the miracle worker is here. Salvation is here. The word of life is here. The promise giver is here. And he's the promise keeper. It's a privilege to get to be with you here in Springfield, Missouri again. And let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Starting with verse 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, talking about Abraham, he obtained the promise. Would you say he endured patiently? Now we live in McDonald generation. We'll drive up to that little speaker and give our order. We don't want to wait too long till they say, can I help you? Or however they talk. And then when we drive around, if it's that first window, we're willing to pay them at that first window, even at the second window. But if they tell us, won't you drive on up here and wait a little bit, we don't like that as well. In fact, if we have to wait too long at that second window, and they do that too often, we'll go to Burger King maybe next time. Because we're in a generation where we want it right now. Right? In fact, doctor, whatever's wrong with me, I'd like for you to fix my problem today. I've got plans for tomorrow. Because he endured patiently. Or when he had endured patiently, he obtained the promises. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. There's so much in this. God, I pray that you would just help us to receive your word. Speak your word to us tonight. And I pray, God, let it strike a chord in our hearts in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Praise the Lord. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. I just had a feeling about somebody that them just having a strong rejoicing feeling, or however you'd call it tonight, that the word of the Lord would confirm to them something they've already received from the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. It may be that there's some things that I'm going to speak to you, the Lord granting, that have already been spoken to you that I don't know all about. That's okay. The Lord does things like that. It may be that somebody here tonight, that God has promised you something. It may be somebody, God's promised you something a long way back there, and that, again, tonight, God's just going to affirm to you that he meant what he said. You know, storms can come, and winds can blow, and the sky can get dark. It can get so dark you can hardly see. I have driven to where I could see ahead of me what looked like just almost a wall of water, and that you couldn't see beyond that into the distance. But I knew that if I would stay on this pavement, that there was something on the other side of that wall of water. And if I would just keep going, I might have to slow down. It might be safe to not drive as fast, but if I could just stay in my lane, I'm going to get through this, and sooner or later, I'm going to be able to see again. I have driven in fog that was so thick that I could only see maybe one or two stripes in the road. But, and I wouldn't need to be driving as fast as I would in bright daylight, clearly seeing. But if I could just keep that vehicle in line to where I could see those stripes and follow those stripes, I know that I see maybe two, but if I can keep going, there's another one, and it's gonna come up. I'm going to see it, and it's going to lead me to another one. And if I just keep a going, eventually I'm going to get through this. And eventually I'm going to get to where I'm headed. There are some promises that are yea and amen. There are some promises that are truth that God has given, and he cannot lie. Oh, he cannot lie. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And what I want you to do is lay hold on your promise. Would you say, lay hold on my promise? Praise God. Oh, I tell you, the devil, he He doesn't like us to receive the promises of the Lord, and sometimes they're contingent upon our reaching out in obedience and faith. It requires faith. It requires obedience. There's sometimes God's given a great promise. The field is rich. The soil is rich. It's there, and it's got a lot of weeds on it right now. But if you'll tackle those weeds and get them out of the way, and if you get some kind of a tiller or some kind of a disc, some kind of a plow, and turn that earth, there's some rich earth there. And if you'll work that soil and get it in the right kind of rows and put the right kind of fertilizer materials that that plant's going to need, and if you'll plant the right kind of seed and if you can water it, that field is going to produce a harvest. But it's not going to produce a harvest as long as you look at that field and say, "Ah, oh, there's too many weeds there. I just don't feel up to it. That's just, oh, that's a lot of work. It's too hard. I don't see it." No, there's no crop growing right now because the hand hasn't been put to the plow yet. It's there. And the reason the hand hasn't been put to the plow is because the faith is weak. But if you'll believe, this ground will produce a good crop. And then you'll put faith to works. My brother has said faith is 95% works. Do I need to say that again? Faith is 95% works. If you'll put the works to it, put your faith in operation, and your faith live in it, God's going to make that ground produce. God's going to bring that crop up. He's going to make the sun shine on it, and he's going to send you rain once in a while. And eventually that crop is going to put out those leaves, that stem, and there's going to be little flowers come on. And if you'll watch, if it's tomatoes, there's going to be little green tomatoes, tiny tomatoes show up. You just keep working that field because they're going to grow, and they're going to get ripe. And God's going to give you a crop. He's going to give you a harvest. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wow. I want to read you what this is about. I think I've got my phone here somewhere. I'm getting older, and whether that's what it is or not, I forget. I left Fort Scott, Kansas today, and I'd been there in service for a pastor that was already gone on the trip, winding up at the conference, and so I stayed an extra few days. I checked before I left, make sure I had everything. I checked maybe twice at least in some areas. And when I got to Springfield, I realized I left my clothes hanging in the closet. My coat, my tie, and my shirt, a couple of shirts, three shirts. One was a casual shirt, my dress pants. Fortunately, I had some others. Otherwise, you folks would have seen me in ranch attire tonight. I've got my phone. Oh, hallelujah. I want to read you a scripture. It's in Genesis chapter 22. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. This is the occasion, you remember, when the Lord had told Abraham, "I want you to offer thy son, thy only son." Now, Abraham knew God had promised him that it was through this son that the promise was going to come. And now God's wanting him to offer him as a sacrifice. And it doesn't make human sense. And I want to tell you that sometimes it's not going to make human sense to you maybe to obey the Lord. Sometimes what God's doing doesn't make human sense. It doesn't mean it's not God. And it doesn't mean that there's not something still going to bring the promise. If Isaac dies, the promise is dead unless God raises him from the dead. He knew God had given him that promise, but he was going to obey God. And so they're on their way. And they leave the servants with the donkeys. And I guess they left the donkeys with the servants. And all that Isaac talked about is, we have the wood and we've got the fire, but where's the sacrifice? There was Isaac and Abraham and wood and fire. And he said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And they get up there, and then he's ready to offer Isaac. And the angel of the Lord stays his hand. And he looks, and there's a ram that's caught in a thicket. And the ram is offered as a sacrifice instead of Isaac. a prototype of Christ being the sacrifice for you and for me that should have died, should have paid the penalty for sins, but he gave a sacrifice. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then afterwards, God speaks to Abraham again, and he's saying, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. It says there in Hebrews, two immutable things, two things that you can't change, two things that they're unchangeable. They won't rust. They won't decay. You can't tear it down. It's solid. It gives hope. You can count on it. It's stronger than the North Star in place. You can get direction according to where it is. Too immutable. And he says over in Hebrews about people making a, you know, there's the swearing where people use the Lord's name in vain. And then there's the swearing which means I affirm, I declare it is true. Upon the word of the Lord, I declare it. You know, they use it like that. It's a declaration that it is verifiable or that it is true. You're declaring it is true. And if it's wrong, what you're saying, they call it perjury. And you can get in trouble for that. And men do that, and it settles the argument. And so God was willing for mankind to do something like that, where he affirmed it was true by an authority, and he couldn't find a greater authority than himself. So he just used himself. Listen to it. He said here, by myself, I am the authority, and upon my authority, by myself. And then here's the second one. That's the first affirmation. The very fact of the word of God, it's forever settled in heaven. Do you know who he's declaring this to? He's not declaring this right here in the presence, though they're coming, in the presence of millions of people. He's not talking to a congress or a conference that there's 1,000 or 2,000 or 10,000 people gathered around. He's talking to one man in the presence of his son. Sometimes we take God by numbers. Sometimes we look at it as, what's the possibility since there's only such a few of us? Like the man, Jesus said, what you going to do about feeding these? And, well, there's a lad here. He's got a couple of pieces of bread and some, he's got five, I think, pieces of bread. And he's got a couple of little fishes for his lunch. But what is so little among so many? Did any of you see on the internet the conference service last night? Raise your hand if you saw that. Okay, we got some that didn't see that. Did you hear the testimony about them eating? The brothers talking about they were having this crusade and they were eating Mexican food. And the pastor's wife comes up, big eyes, pastor, or called him by name, I think, and I'm the one that prepared the Mexican food. And so maybe thanked her there or something. No, you don't understand. I fixed food for 200 people, and there's 700 here, and we have food left over. Hey, what is so little among so many? What window are we looking through? We've got the telescope sometimes turned around, and we're looking at it where it looks so small. You need to turn that around and look at it through God's eyes of faith. When God makes a promise by himself, it cannot fail if we'll do our part. He cannot lie. He will not lie. Woo, hallelujah. Is there anybody here you remember being in service in this auditorium when God gave a promise of future revival? Is anybody been here? You heard the Lord's word declare what he was going to do? Well, let me ask you, did he lie? Can he lie? Wow. Hallelujah. The devil, he'd love to just get us tied up in knots and feel like it can't happen and get us fearful and try to destroy our faith and get us to a place where we just shut down. I've used this illustration before. Do you ever ride a roller coaster? I'm going to hold on to this. I might come back to it. Do you ever ride a roller coaster? You know, you get in that little old bucket seat or whatever kind of seat it is, bean seat, and they either drop something over you or you tie it around somehow. You're buckled in. And it's not all that bad at first. You know, you're just going along laterally, clickety, 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 click, and all of a sudden that thing just turns and goes straight up. Clickety, clickety. And about that time, maybe if you've got a fear of heights, you begin to say, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. I can't do this. Yeah, you can. You're going to do this. You're locked into the story, folks. It's going to happen. And you get on top, I don't know. And all of a sudden, you're looking down on the world. And then you're hurtling down to the world. Woo! And you're on the ride. I'm talking to some people tonight. You're on the ride. And God's got you locked in with a promise. And there's going to come a time that you're going to see if you'll hold on to the promises of God and what He said was real. And it's going to come to, you're going to see God. You've already seen God move. You've already seen God move. Hallelujah. It's only the beginning. Lord, thank you for those that are going to be talking in tongues in this altar. Thank you for those that are going to receive the Holy Ghost in between the pews. Let's don't sell God short for what God is wanting to do and what God is planning to do. I will tell you this, God's not popping pills for high blood pressure. And He's not taking pills to calm His nerves. And He's not worried, not at all. The reason He doesn't sleep at night is not because He's worried. It's because He doesn't have to. He's got all power in heaven and earth. And He is well able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh within us. When God, that's the word of God. That's the word of the Lord. When the Lord gave that promise through the writing of the Apostle Paul, just to show you, folks, our little cranium has got a deal in here, this brain, and our thinking process that as big as we think, we fall so far short of seeing the reality. Brother Barnes was a missionary. He's passed, not Brother Barnes, Brother Brian. That was his last name. Brother Brian was a missionary. And there was a time that there was a daughter of a minister that was in the area where he was a missionary, I assume, got sick in the hospital. And she hadn't been living for the Lord that I know. And so he went to pray for her. He comes into the foyer area, and before he goes into the room, he sees this band of angels. Through a tunnel, and he sees these angels. And so he didn't go right in the room, if that's the way it happened. Anyway, he saw these angels. He's there praying, and he's, Lord, would you heal her? And one of the angels shakes his head. So he kept praying. And he said, Lord, would you heal her for your name's sake? And the angels went in a huddle. And then one shot off. I mean, just took off. And then he came back and shook his head. God wouldn't heal her for his name's sake. Well, he kept praying. God, would you heal her for your mercy's sake? That angel took off. He came back and he nodded his head. Brother Brian went in, prayed for the girl. God healed her, or the young woman. And she didn't live for God. And the Lord told Brother Brian, that's why I didn't want to heal her. He knew she wouldn't live for him. But for his mercy's sake, God healed her. But what I want you to notice is this. Where is the throne of God? If He's in the heaven of heavens, if I understand it correctly, that's beyond the stars of the universe. And I don't know where the end of that is exactly. But somewhere beyond, there is a place where there is a throne. And that angel traveled at a speed that It went beyond the stars of the heavens, beyond all of the galaxies, into that third heaven with a request to the throne, and came back in moments of time. Folks, that's fast traveling. I mean, that puts the speed of light so much in the shade, you can't hardly see it. Am I blowing your mind a little bit? And the God that we create, the God that created us, he made it so that that angel could travel at the speed of thought, almost. Wow. That angel can't do that without God. That angel wasn't able to do that without God having already put all of it together with his creation. God created that. God spoke some things into existence that they're there because the Word of God brought it to pass. And that's the kind of God that is speaking to a man and his son is listening. And there's not a big crowd around, but it doesn't matter to God how many's there because God's making a promise to Abraham and it's going to come to pass. You think it hasn't come to pass? You just number up how many Jewish and Arab people have populated the centuries. Millions upon millions. All the nations of the earth, you just look at how the word of the Lord has been carried through the centuries to the gospel, with the gospel. The Apostle Paul, he taught in the school of one, was it Irenaeus? And in 3 years, all Asia had heard the gospel. He and Barnabas, on their way back, carrying the report of what God's done with their ministry to the Gentiles, they come through, and it names two countries or two areas. One of them is that Jewish area there, Galilee. And they, along the way, they're telling the brethren. So evidently, the gospel has spread, and there's churches at different towns in Galilee. And as they're coming to these churches, they're spreading the gospel news of what God's doing with the Gentiles. Is God any respecter of persons? No, he's not. The same God that poured out the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. The same God that sent the word through the Apostle Peter to Cornelius and his household. Oh, hallelujah. The same God that's reaching around the world today is the God that has made some promises to some people sitting on these pews, and God's not going to back up from his word for any devil of hell. He's not scared by any devil of hell. It's quite the opposite. And what you don't know is that God lives in you, and the devil knows who he is. Now, just by ourselves, we maybe not so much, but the God that lives in you has already cast him out once. Brother Barnes, somebody asked him one time, staying in a hotel, motel, whatever it was, that, you know, all the demonic stuff, people staying in there with demon possession or something. They maybe didn't describe it just in those exact words, but something about did that spirit or those spirits bother him at night? No, if the devil wants to hide under the bed and shake all night, that's his problem. Boy, you let something happen and it's real and it's a problem and it's a trouble and it's scary and fear tries to rise up in us. We're human. But the Bible says, be careful for nothing. That word careful, don't worry about, it means worryful. Be worryful about nothing. Oh, wow. I'll tell you what, there's times I got to climb that hill. There's times it's not so easy, but the Bible says be worryful about nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace that passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mom and Dad bought some land up in East Texas that had belonged to some family relatives on back there, and they built a house. And so in my travels, there were some times that I was staying there and some years ago, and it's a rural setting. There's woods across the highway, and there's woods that way, and there's woods behind it, and there's a road over there, and there's some neighbors around, but you can't see a house right standing there with the obstructions. Maybe not if you can. You're looking through some trees maybe that way to see anything, and I don't know. There's some people, you know, it's kind of spooky when you're out and by yourself and you're wondering what's looking at you out there. And it's kind of a funny feeling. If you've never had any feeling like this, then you're blessed. But there's probably more than just me that's had a feeling like that. And I remember a time driving up by myself, nobody around, it's dark, it's at night, and I didn't have a fear of anything because I had had a prayer meeting. Hallelujah. And God was with me, and I knew that I was protected, and I wasn't worried about the danger of anything or anybody. What did that? There's something about that presence. There's something about the authority and the power and the protection. Oh, and the peace of that presence. And that very presence has been in this sanctuary tonight. Hallelujah. That very presence lives within you. If you've received the Holy Ghost, He's there. He's there. Oh. Okay. We're over halfway there. Two immutable things. Number one, His word. Number two, His oath upon His word. By my word. And then He says, because you've done this, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. I'm talking to one man right here, Abraham. Now, Isaac's here, but I'm talking to Abraham. It doesn't matter if it was just one man. God's word's going to come to pass. It doesn't matter if he's only got one man, one child. That's the seed of promise. God's promise is going to come to pass. It doesn't matter if that child's going to grow up and have only one son, that through him will come the promise. God's promise is going to come to pass. Now, by the third generation, it grows, and there's 12 sons. And by the time they came out of Egypt, there was a multitude of around maybe 3 million people. And then today, there's thousands upon thousands that have received the Holy Ghost. There was a time in Ethiopia, there's a brother that told me about being there. And I've seen a picture of one of those meetings where the huge crowd, the people in the back, it was just like a blur of faces. They were so far away. There were tens of thousands of people assembled together. They didn't have covering for everybody. Some of them are out beyond the covering, and it looked like maybe long poles with some kind of covering stretched over it. And then the crowd was so huge and so large, it extended way out past that, or considerably past that. And this brother, when it came time, they're praying for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, he closed his eyes. And with his eyes closed, he heard it start raining. And he's thinking about those people that are out there with no protection over their head. And there's another brother, another minister that's there, and he didn't have his eyes closed because he started saying, I see it, I see it. Droplets of fire falling. This brother opens his eyes. There's no rain. What he heard was the rain of the Holy Ghost. God let him hear it spiritually. I declare to you that if you could have seen the glory tonight with your eyes that was in this place, the beautiful colors that were portrayed of the glory of God, that it'd be something like you have never seen before. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This is so powerful. This is so powerful. And it's so true and it's so real. God said, in blessing, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thee. Blessing. That God, could it be God is saying, harvest, I'm going to bless you. In blessing, I'm going to bless you. Hallelujah. I'm just going to turn my hose of blessing up on you. And it's going to pour out in your midst. And you're going to be individually, some of you blessed, as well as corporately blessed. Could it be that the Spirit is saying, in multiplying. Now let me kind of get wild here a little bit, okay? What's one times one? What's two times one? Well, if you multiply, that's in the sense that you're increase. If you're going in solid whole digits, the very next thing above one is two. So it's got to be at least two to multiply. But he didn't say, I'm just going to multiply you. He said, in multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. That doesn't sound to me like only one increase. That doesn't sound to me like just one or two getting the Holy Ghost. That sounds to me like it could be that, and maybe you're already moving some in this area, but that it's no uncommon thing that in your weekend services that people are going to be getting the Holy Ghost because it happens nearly every week. That new ones are coming in, that you've got a problem discipling all these because new babies need mothers. New babies need to be taken care of. New babies have problems and they can't help themselves well and they need somebody to encourage them and pick them up and say, come on, yeah, you can make it. Come on, don't get discouraged. Come on, God did it for me and he'll do it for you. In multiplying, I will multiply. Hallelujah. Now, if I am saying it, don't count on it. If Randall McCoy is saying it, don't you put no money on it. But if God is saying it, then you need to lay hold on the promise. I'm talking about laying hold. Do you remember tonight? If God is saying it, you need to lay hold and say, it's my promise. It's my promise. Not only do you need to lay hold on it with faith, you need to start reaching out for the promise because it's somebody maybe that you're going to meet. It's somebody that you're going to rub shoulders. It might be in the grocery store. It might be, you might be surprised. My brother went to the grocery store. And there was a little Mexican lady in front of him that maybe didn't having trouble finding enough money or something or whatever it was. Anyway, it seemed to me he paid for her bill. And told her about the church they had. Now, they have an Hispanic-speaking church, okay, as well as English-speaking. And they started it just from nothing. Had a young brother in the church with a Hispanic background and well-educated. He's a banker and runs a branch bank, I think, and he spoke good Spanish and received the Holy Ghost in the church, maybe came through the church school, and now then he's an adult, and so he just fit right in, and God started using him, and now they've got a Hispanic ministry and church, and it's growing. And so she got invited, and she came, and her husband came, and guess what? The Holy Ghost moved. The Holy Ghost came. Hallelujah. All from just meeting somebody, being friendly, inviting them to something that they identified with because she spoke Spanish, maybe didn't speak good English, and got her tied in with something that she felt comfortable with. But in the process, God was multiplying, and God was blessing. And now then they are, I don't know how many they're having in church. That church has grown. Somewhere there's a promise. Somewhere there's a word of the Lord that we need to hold on to, and then we need to get it in our feet and get it in our testimony. And we need to befriend people and let God use us to show the open door. You may feel like, I can't do anything. I don't have anything. I'm not talented. But there's something you can do, because God never did make a mistake. God never did find somebody and say, I'm calling you with a purpose, and didn't have a purpose for them. Turn around to somebody and point your finger and say, God's got a purpose for you. Hallelujah. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it talks about operating in the gifts of the Spirit with love. And it gets on down there and it says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. Now, we don't know it all, but we do know some. We don't know the whole picture of His greatness, but we do know part of it. I know what it feels like for the Holy Ghost to move on me. I know what it feels like to talk in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. I haven't got everything there is about the knowledge of the great I am, but I know something. I've got a hold of something. My dad was drafted in the Army, World War II. And when he was in high school, he took a typing course, became very proficient at typing. In fact, he won a contest where he got recognition, and he was good at it. So they were taking him through this place where, you know, they're kind of orienting him or something and get him lined out joining the Army. And he sees a sign there with a typewriter. The sign's about taking a test. So he asked the sergeant, or whoever it was, could he take a test? He says, can you type? Yes, sir. So my dad took the typing test. Did good at it. The sergeant said, you're not going to wind up in any trenches. Well, time went on. Maybe my dad never even thought about it much more. I don't know. But one day when he gets overseas, an order comes through for him to report to the OSS. The officer that received the order for him and gave it to him said, I don't know what the OSS is. Maybe it's Office of Supply and Service. Well, it's not Office of Supply and Service. It's Office of Strategic Services. You see, when we went into World War II, we didn't have intelligence system, spy system like England did. So they quickly put one together. It was the OSS. It was wartime pre-runner of what we have today as the CIA. And so he got involved in this system, and one of the first ones in France after they liberated it. They set up an office that was high security, because they were sending and receiving messages from spies all over Europe. And they had codes, keys of codes hanging, and he could take that and type that and stay ahead, roll that stuff off on the floor. But they brought a box in. I don't know just how big box, and set it down and told them, men, guard this with your lives, and wouldn't tell them what was in it. But there was a sheet of paper, and it was torn in half, and they were given half and the other half taken away. And so when the people came to get the box, they had to have the other half, and it had, of course, to match. And there's only one half that's actually totally going to match in that kind of a deal. It's the one that's torn in two. And so after the war, they came and got the box, and so they wanted to know what was in it. The crown jewels of the Queen of Austria. My dad said he sat on that box a lot of times. I want you to notice this. They didn't have the whole paper, but they had part of it, and it was a key. And there was another part that would match with it. And it was a key to be able to have, to be able to take possession of the box of wealth, great wealth. We don't have it. We're living in a body that's not glorified yet. You know, we're still living in this body that's a child of Adam and Eve. It's still subject to some things. And if you don't watch it, that guy that cuts you off, you know, and you're just liable to feel some of that Adamic nature try to get active in you. Amen? We're still having to deal with this old nature. And we don't have the whole piece of paper yet. But that doesn't mean we don't have something. Because we've got part of it. We've got enough to know this is real. And it works. It works. And it's got some precious. Excuse me, it's got some precious promises. Oh, wow, it's got some precious promises. He said over there, in blessing, I'm going to bless you. In multiplying, I'm harvest, you expect God to do what he said he was going to do. If there's others that have preached to you something along the line of what I'm preaching to you tonight, then what I'm saying is a confirmation. It's not a new message. It's a confirmation. It's God maybe saying to you, be encouraged. Don't let the devil take away your victory. Oh, you've got a promise. You've got part of a paper. And God's got the other part. Hallelujah. In promising, he said, and by his stripes we are healed. It's over in the book of Isaiah. It promised it, and by his stripes we are healed. And it in that chapter there, what is it, 53, he's talking about some promises, and Jesus stands up one day, and he holds that book of Isaiah, and he reads from that, and he sits down, and everybody's looking at him, and he says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus is not here in bodily form and presence, but that does not mean that he's not here. And because he's here, this scripture is fulfilled in our presence. He is the healer. He is the Savior. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty. I don't know the answer to all the problems. I don't know the answer to everything maybe in my life, but I know who does. I maybe told you here before about praying for that brother that had the pen dislocated. After it was at the close of the service, everybody else that got prayed for, he was the last one. He came up. He wasn't standing there. Now he actually came up it was his right arm in a sling. And he told me, from what he told me, there was a pen. Now in Wisconsin, there's pen, pan, and pan. It's a P-I-N I'm talking about. There was a pin that had come loose. So evidently, he'd had surgery on that shoulder, and they'd put a pin in there to hold it, and it had come loose. That's what it sounds like. How would you pray for a pin in a shoulder? That's not original. God didn't make it like that. God made it with bone. What are you going to ask God to do? I didn't know what to do. But God made iron swim in the Old Testament. So I prayed and put it in the hands of God. After we had prayer there, I don't remember what I said to him, but I do remember him reaching up and saying, I think what he said was, it's not loose. But before he left church that service, he had his arm out. And he was walking around without holding it with a sling. The next service, he didn't bring the sling. I found out later on, he was already scheduled for an MRI on Monday morning. And when they did the MRI, the doctors wanted to go in and see what this was, because that pen had something like you would interlace your fingers around it, holding it in place. They'd never seen anything like it. He told his doctor about being prayed for or however, and the doctor agreed that it was a God thing. He'd never seen anything like it. Now then, before we prayed, it was loose. After we prayed, it was already done in a manner that man has never done exactly like that. At least the doctors had never seen it done. Who did that? He did. He did. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. Did you know that kind of blew my mind? If God can do that, what else can God do? The problem is not God's ability, folks. He was able to spread out the heavens as a curtain. The Bible said he did. He was able to speak the worlds into existence. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So what can he do with his promises to harvest? If you're here tonight, the devil's been battling you. And the devil's been trying to make you fearful and doubtful. Let me encourage you to rebuke that devil of fear and doubt and tell it, God's given me a promise. If you know he has, God's given me a promise. And I'm going to hold on to my promise. You're not going to take it away from me, devil. I'm going to see people baptized in Jesus' name. I'm going to see people filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to see God do wonderful things, and he's going to be glorified because he promised. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Praise God. We're getting closer to 8:15. And I could go on and on. Let me go on a little bit. You know, this deal about, and I've used this before. There's something that feels like, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. That is such a, God doesn't like that. He got a hold of a man one time that was trying to say that. And he finally got angry with him. And the way he got his attention, he made a bush have fire in it but not get burned up. And Moses decided to look aside at this. So God saw he had his attention. And so God talked to him. Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. And God starts talking to him. I want you to go back to Egypt and lead my people. I've heard their cry, and I want you to lead them. God, you made a mistake. It's not me. Well, that's not what it records, but that's a big paraphrase. No, Lord, you know what it was like for me in Egypt. I nearly got killed there. It's scary. I don't want to go back to Egypt. I blew it. I tried and I blew it. I messed it up so bad, and I'm ashamed to go back to Egypt. Yeah, Moses, I want to use you. I want you to go. No, Lord. If I do go, who am I going to tell them sent me? And God says to him, I am that I am. And then God says, tell them I am sent you. Now, God, it looks to me like God let Moses have an insight. I am the all-sufficient one. I am that I am. You don't get any bigger than me. You don't get any more power. There's none more powerful than me. I'm it. And you tell them, I am sent you. And Moses, he's still struggling with this. Lord, I can't talk. Who made the tongue anyway? And you're talking to the one that created the tongue. What do you mean you can't talk? Lord, I can't. I don't have the money. I don't have. Who do you think created the ability to make money? And, well, now he didn't say it all just like that to Moses, but I'm saying to you. And then somewhere along the way, Moses, what's that in your hand? It's this staff. I can use it. I can take the crook in and grab a hold of a sheep that's going to a place I don't want him to go, and I can pull him back. I can correct him with it, and I can prod him with that and make a move. And if there's a wolf comes, I can use it as a weapon and throw it down. And okay. And then he ran from it because things started wiggling. It was a snake. It shook him. It shook him. And then God said, pick it up. And you know, somehow God had got through to him enough that he obeyed, but he didn't go get it by the head. You read it. He got it by the tail. And it turned into a staff again. Put your hand in your clothes, and it's covered with white leprosy skin. Scaly white skin that's leprosy. Again, and it's normal like the other skin. And you show these signs to them. And finally, God got, he got angry at Moses. Moses is trying to wrestle against the promises of God. God made a promise to Abraham. And God's going to fulfill his promise. And Moses, you're the man that God has chosen for the hour. You may feel like you're out here and a failure. You may feel like you've wasted 40 years out in this wilderness. It's not a waste, Moses, because now it's God's time. And God's picked you for the hour. And oh, hallelujah. And God's going to do a work in your midst that's going to glorify him. And it's going to be His people and His church and His Spirit and His Word and His power and His name. And we're going to give Him the glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He said in one place there, Moses gave it to us, where God said, if you will diligently follow me, seek me, do my commandments, I'll put none of these diseases upon you because I am the Lord that healeth thee. Not I am the one that stands by while Moses healeth thee, heals thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. The one that gave you the Holy Ghost was not Randall McCoy. The one that did the miracle in your life, if so happened, it was not me. It was the God of heaven that changed the course of that physical situation. It was the God of heaven that changed the course of that spiritual need. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And folks, He's full of promises. He's got all power in heaven and earth, and He'll back up His promises. There's a place in the Scripture it actually tells us it's the power of the resurrection that'll back up, and it doesn't say it just exactly like this in so many words, but it'll back up His promises to you. The power that was so powerful that the devil couldn't hold Him. Death couldn't hold Him. The power that raised Him from the dead and set Him on the authority on high. Not only raised Him from the dead, but put Him up over all. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. That's the power that's backing His promise. Do you believe this? Then start praising Him for it. Start worshiping Him for it. I told a woman one time, I prayed for her in the service. She wasn't healed. My time's almost gone. I prayed for a woman. She wasn't healed. And I told her to worship the Lord or praise the Lord as though she were healed. Have I said it to her? I was back in that church the next year. Guess what? That woman was healed. Before she was healed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you. And God just gave her that scripture. There's a lady that came that wasn't a Jewish woman, Syrophoenician woman, and she worshiped Him. And He said to her, see, her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. He said, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Whatever you want, you can have it. She worshiped Him. I got to quit. I could go on. I got to quit. Let's stand. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus can do anything tonight that's needed in this place if it's in His will. It doesn't matter what it is. I've seen Him heal blood disease. I saw Him heal an ankle that was locked with a heel spur. And that woman wiggled that foot. God healed it. Just recently, there was a sister that came up for service, was over. But there was two more. Somebody mentioned about another hand or maybe mentioned also at the time too. And then this sister she'd had surgery on her arm before. And that week before, her son somehow had hurt her arm. And she was wearing this brace, and she was the musician, and she had played with that pain through that service. And she came, and God healed her standing right there. The next service that she went through, she could play without, as far as I know, without any pain and without the brace. It didn't take God a long time to do it. Sometimes it's gradual. Either way, whatever God does, it's still God. God can do this. God can do this. There's someone recently, and distance. You know what? What is distance to God? A God that can cause an angel to transcend. Yeah, that was a word I needed a while ago. Transcend the whole universe with thought almost and back in moments. What is just a few miles or a few hundred miles? I was talking to someone not too awfully long ago, hundreds of miles away. They'd had a damage to a shoulder. We prayed, had to check it, and healing was working already. Amazing. What is a few hundred miles to God? We limit God sometimes. Would you just gather around real quick? Okay, it's 8:15. If you have to go, whatever. But if you, as many as are here, would you gather around? And let's just take a little time to give God an opportunity. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever it is you've been wrestling with and you've been having a hard time to believe for, and that somehow tonight maybe God's just tapping on your door saying, I'm talking to you. You can have it. You can have it. You can have deliverance from that bondage. You can have deliverance from that addiction. You can have deliverance from that power that's got a hold upon your life. You can have an infilling or a renewing in the Holy Ghost, because it's promised. It's promised, and God can't back away from His Word. Hallelujah. According to His will. Or if you need healing, whatever it is, I want you to come to the Lord and expect God to do something, okay? Let's praise Him first. Lord, thank you for your presence that's here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for a word of faith that you've spoken to hearts that are here. I pray, God, that you confirm your word in their lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it be done for your glory and according to your will and your plan. God, bring it to pass just like you promised. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. How many are here and you're hungry for a renewing in the Holy Ghost or a blessing? You've been going through a battle and you need a blessing. Or maybe you've got the Holy Ghost, but it's just been too long since you really had a real good blessing of the Holy Ghost and you're hungry for it. Anybody here tonight like that? I tell you what, I need them once in a while. I want you to come stand right up here. Hallelujah. If you're going through something and you need God to give you a victory in something, you know that you're in the will of God, but the devil is trying to battle you. Maybe some kind of a problem that's come that the enemy's thrown in your path, and you just need God to get you on through it. Whatever it is, I want you to come too. When you lift your hands, I want you to lay hold on your promise, and I want you to praise God in faith for it and believe God for it and press your way through until you know you have touched the hem of His garment spiritually and received that virtue flowed out of Him, and He's in this place tonight. And I tell you, the source of virtue is in this place. Let's praise Him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Jesus can do this. Whatever it is.
This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles.